All right, how's everybody doing? It's good to see you guys. You guys like your t-shirts? Yeah. Hey, listen, man. I want to ask you guys if y'all do us a really big favor. The reason why we gave you those is because we want you to wear them to school on Wednesdays so you can tell your friends about M12 and invite them. Not necessarily your friends that go to other churches, but your friends that are unchurched, that don't have a church home. We'd love for them to come and hang out with us. Well, I missed you guys last week. I was in Orlando. Anybody ever been to Orlando? Come on. Yeah, I was suffering for Jesus in Orlando last week. And no, but really, I could definitely live there. I love the weather. Nobody does it like Disney. You know what I'm saying? Disney is amazing. But here's what's really cool is I got to kind of take this like VIP / behind the scenes tour of SeaWorld. And it was amazing. Let me tell you guys, man, if you're going to SeaWorld this summer, they've got this brand new, first time ever. It's the only thing in the world like it. It's this 360 degree, like 3D theater. And it's a film about turtles, which is kind of a bummer, but it's like all around you. So you can't just look at one screen. Like it's literally it's kind of feels like you're in the movie. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's amazing. But anyway, it was great. Missed you guys. But I'm really excited to be back here tonight. And I want to especially welcome those of you that are here for the first time. Any first time guests, if you'll just quickly raise your hand. We're so glad you guys are here. Give it up for our guests. Amen. You guys got a free t-shirt. You got your number one thumb finger. Hold them up. Let me see them thumb fingers. Cool. Some of you have five. Okay, great. So anyway, but listen, tonight I'm really excited that you guys are here. You guys know a couple weeks ago I told you that I got an Instagram, got a Twitter, and trying to get better at that. But here's what I do. I spend most of my time looking at what all of you guys post. All of your interesting selfies and your interesting, you know, posts and your hashtags. How do you do the hashtag, right? I'm messing it up, but I'm doing quotes. So I like to just see what all you guys are saying. And I want to encourage you, man. Pump up M12, man. Invite your friends. We want them to come here. We want them to be a part of what God's doing here, what God's doing in your life, and what they can step into. But here's the thing, man. Like, I often wonder, what would Bible character Twitter pages look like? You know, like, what would they tweet about? What would they Instagram? What would they hashtag? So, of course, I brought a few. I got a little creative. And so let's just look at these. Like, for example, Noah. Maybe Noah, day 27, so much for the unicorns. From now on, all carnivores are confined to sea deck. Hashtag animal problems, right? I mean, that might be legit. Or what about Moses? What's the deal with this bush, right? Burning bush. David at Goliath, at giant Goliath. I bet I could take you. Hashtag Israel for the win. Love it. And, of course, last one, Jonah. Still inside of the fish. That'd be a pretty bad life, wouldn't it? Wake up and you're in the belly of a fish. I mean, come on. That'd be crazy. No, but here's what I want you to know. I want every single one of you guys to know tonight that I've got some really good news to talk to you about tonight. Some really good news. Like, not only do you go home with a free t-shirt, not only do you get these number one thumb finger awesome deals. I don't know what you'll do with them, but they're fun and they were cheap. But I've got some really, really, really good news for you tonight. So here's what I want you. I want you to look at the person on your left and say, there's good news coming. There's good news coming. There's good news coming. Now, check it out. Stay with me. Need you guys to listen quickly. I want to catch us up to where we're at. So we're in a series called Sola, right? And Sola, to remind you, is the Latin word for the term alone. So what we're doing in this series is we're looking at five five foundational truths that we hold on to tightly that never change for us as Christians. Maybe some of you here tonight, you're not a Christian. You're going to hear some good news tonight. And so we're talking about these five foundational truths, man, that are timeless, that do not change, that are always the same, right? Things that should impact the way we believe or the way we live and what we believe, right? And so 2 weeks ago, I got to talk to you about this idea of sola scriptura. And what that means is that scripture alone, the Bible, right? The Bible that you have in front of you or below you, the Bible is the highest authority in our life, right? That scripture alone is truth, right? That it's something we can build our life on, something we can live our life by, right? And then last week, you guys heard from Pastor Kevin Monahan, and Kevin talked about how sola gratia, right? That grace alone and faith alone, right? And so we're saved by grace alone, grace being this gift that we don't deserve, right? It'd be like me giving you a $20 bill and you didn't do anything for me. You didn't deserve it, but I just wanted to give you $20. I don't have $20, so I can't do that for one of you tonight, but that's kind of what grace is. Grace is an undeserved gift, and so we're saved by grace alone through faith alone. God's grace alone through our faith alone. And our faith, our belief, our trust, our certainty of who God is and the fact that God is real and that God has a plan for us. And so tonight, we get to continue that message. And tonight is all about sola Christus. And so what that means is Christ alone. So let me play it out for you, right? We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So that's where we're going tonight. Christ alone. And that is the good news. Here's the good news is that all of Scripture, from the beginning to the end, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from Moses to Paul, name somebody, every bit of the Bible, every bit of Scripture, it all points to Jesus. It all has to do with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All points to Him. It's all about Him. And so tonight, I want to give you a bottom line. It's going to be something we talk about quite a bit tonight. And I want you to think about this. I'd love for you to write it down, maybe even hashtag it, tweet it. But here it is. Here's the bottom line tonight. Christ alone changes don't but do into done. Let me say it again. Christ alone, Jesus Christ alone, you don't have to say it with me, you can. Christ alone changes don't but do into done. Now, I want to break that down. I want to talk to you about what that even means, and it's really, really good news. But I was thinking, how many of you guys have ever had to order fast food through a drive-thru window? Drive-thru window. Okay. Okay, so I remember the very first time that I had to order food through a drive-thru window, right? Now, a little background, a little backstory. I've got two older brothers, and so, you know, one I'm five years apart. And so basically what that means is that me being the youngest means that I'm the last to get to drive, right? So I get to ride with my older brothers, whatever. You guys have older siblings, you know what I'm talking about. So, but here's the thing. Like, I grew up in a bluish collar home. And so we weren't poor, but we weren't super rich. And so the way our family worked is that we didn't have the means, we didn't have the resources for, you know, my dad to go buy me a car when I was 16. Now, some of you guys live in homes that can happen. That's great. But for me, that just wasn't possible. So the cars that we drove, we inherited, right? So I remember my oldest brother, 16 years old, he inherits this white Oldsmobile granny car, right? I mean, you guys know the one I'm talking about. The best part about it, though, is that the seats were actually really comfortable, right? Like you could just kind of take a nap, which is not a good thing if you're driving, that'd be bad. But all that being said, just imagine this long, you know, white Oldsmobile. We named her White Lightning. We named her White Lightning. The reason why is because it probably took about 10 minutes to get from 0 to 60, right? It was an old car. It was a beat up car. He had wrecked it a couple of times. And it was one of those, I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, but when you get into a car, maybe your grandmother, your grandfather, it's one of those cars where like the cloth on the ceiling is drooping down. So when you walk in it or when you get in it, you feel like you're like in a tent, you know, and you got a bad hair day because the cloth is not sticking up to the roof of the car. I mean, it's awful, right? It's awful. And so here's what happens. So we pull into Wendy's, which is a great place to eat. Pull into Wendy's. And we get to the drive-through window, right? And so my brother's trying to roll down the window, and nothing's happening. We're talking about electric windows, not those, right? Not the manual, right? And so nothing's happening. So, like, I'm like, dude, I'm laughing, number one, because the window's not working. And then he's like, dude, get in the back and order. So I climb over the seat. I'm in the back seat. The back seat door or window's working, so what do you call it? I roll it down, right? And then here's what happens. Imagine this. Imagine this moment. I don't know if you've ever been there. But it was like I couldn't talk. Like I was just, number one, I was laughing hysterically. Number two, I was terrified because this is my first experience, a drive-through window. I don't know who this person is. And I don't even know what I want. And I don't know what my brother wants. And I'm just trying to figure out what to do and what to say, right? And this person on the other end is probably just ready to slap me in the face. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know what's going on. And so my brother's getting mad at me. He's like yelling from the front seat to the back, like, dude, order something. And I literally, like, I just couldn't talk. So I'm in a drive-thru with the window down trying to order a meal, and I don't know what to say. And I've eaten Wendy's all my life. You guys, anybody, has that ever happened to anybody here, right? Totally embarrassed right now. Like, and so then when we pull around to get our food, I'm like trying to hide because I don't want the person to see me because then they're going to think, you're the idiot, right? Just kidding. Not really. Well, maybe. Awful experience. But every time I pull around to a drive-thru, that story always comes up. I always think about it. Now, I'm much better at ordering food, right, in a drive-thru now. But I always think about that. Always think about that. Well, I brought a little clip that I'm pretty sure this guy struggled a little bit more than I did. Check it out.
Let me order.
Yeah, I'd like to place an order.
What'd you like?
Yeah, I'd like 3 orders of garlic chicken.
And then?
And then 3 orders of white rice.
And then?
And then... Oh, hey, you guys want soup?
Sure.
Yeah, 3 orders of wonton soup.
And then?
Oh, some fortune cookies, too.
And then?
Gosh, I think that's about it.
And then?
No, that's it.
And then?
No, and then. That's all I want.
And then?
then nothing else because I'm done ordering, okay?
And then?
No. See, all I want is the 3 orders of the garlic chicken and the 3 orders of the white rice.
And then?
And the soup, dude.
Oh, and the wonton soup.
And then?
And a cookie's fortune.
Hey. And the fortune cookies, yeah. So it's just the chicken, the rice, the soup, and the fortune cookies, and that's it.
And then...
and then you can put it in a brown paper bag and come put it in my hand because I'm ready to eat.
And then...
Hey, I refuse to play your Chinese food mind games.
And then...
No! No, and then!
And then?
No, and then!
And then!
No, and then!
And then!
Man, that guy. Hey, listen, man. Hey. Don't ever take your anger off on a machine. I mean, are you kidding me, right? Hey, listen, I want you to get this. I want you to get this. I want you to listen. This is huge. In Christ alone, there's no and then. I want you to think about it. In Christ alone, there's no and then. Now, here's what I know about all of you, most of you, actually all of you in the room tonight, right? What I know is that middle school, your middle school years are not the easiest years of your life. You know, some of you may agree, some of you may disagree, but most of you, I think, would probably agree that middle school is not the three easiest years of your life. There's good days, there's terrible days, and that's just part of your journey. It's part of mine, but I need you to listen. The reality is that you guys are going through massive changes. We've talked about this before. You guys have so many different things. Your world's spinning. You got physical change happening. You got your friendships are changing. So there's social stuff and who you thought, you know, might be your best friend in middle school. You guys like different things now. So, you know, you got other best friends. And that's just part of life. People come and go and things happen. So you got social change. You got intellectual change. You know, hopefully you're smarter than you used to be, you know, when you're in fifth grade. But you've also got, you know, you got spiritual change. And so there's just massive, massive changes in your life. And it seems that there's a common message that you often hear. And here's what I want to do. I want to apologize to you guys, because a lot of times I think in the world of massive change that you live in, this common message that you hear over and over again is this message of don't, but do. Don't, but do. Now, I want you to think about it. Like, how many times just this week, right? Not to offend any parents in the room, but how many times just this week have you heard your parents say, don't do this, but do this? Right? Or what about your teachers? Hey, don't do this, but do this. All right. How about any coaches, don't, but do. Siblings, older siblings. Yeah. Now stay with me. I'm not saying your parents don't have a point. I'm not saying that your teachers don't have a point. But here's what I'm saying is that there's this central message and this central theme in the realm of massive change that you guys are going through. And that message or that theme is don't but do. For example, don't mess things up, but do act like this. Or don't feel like this, but do feel like that. Don't eat too much, but do eat some. Don't eat too little, but do eat plenty of this, broccoli, vegetable. Don't look at that, but do look at this. Don't fart, burp, or breathe too loud, but actually don't ever do that. That's a bad idea. Don't be friends with that kid, but do be friends with that kid. Don't go to that party, but do this. Now, all of those don'ts and do's probably have really good intentions behind them. But the reality and the good news message is that the message that I want you to hear is very different than that tonight. And I know you're tempted to talk to people. I know you're tempted to play with the phone fingers. I need you to listen because this is huge. This is huge tonight. For some of you, this is the first time you're ever going to hear this. But the reality is that Jesus, Christ alone, he turns don't but do into done. See, it's much like the movie clip that I played. The idea, the Chinese lady keeps saying, and yeah, you guys got me. Yeah. But see, listen. Sometimes the reality is maybe you guys feel a lot like that about church or about God, about life. For example, maybe you think things like, well, I've got to do this and then God will love me. Or I've got to do that, and then people will like me. Or I've got to act this way, and then I'll be accepted like everyone else. Or I have to say this, and then I'll be part of the cool crowd. And so you live in this and then mentality. You live in this don't do this, but do this messaging, right? And here's what I know is that if you live your life in that way, that by the time your middle school years are over, man, you're going to be exhausted. And you're not going to have a clue who you really are. You're not going to have a clue who God says you really are. Not going to have a clue who loves you actually more than any person on this earth ever will or ever could. And so what happens is that Jesus came and he solved this whole ordeal for us. Jesus Christ alone turns don't but do into done. And so when we use this term sola Christus, what we're saying is Christ alone changes everything. Christ alone changes it all. If any of this life, right, of following Christ had more to do with what you do, then all of us would be in trouble. Because what we do is a lot of times we sin. A lot of times we mess up. But what Jesus did is Jesus came and he died for you and he shed his blood for you. And so here's what I want you to know. Salvation is by Christ alone. It's by Christ alone. There's no other way for you and I to get to heaven. It's that simple. It doesn't matter what your friends believe. It doesn't matter what people believe outside of this room. The bottom line is what the Bible teaches, the source of all truth teaches, that the only way for you and I to get to heaven, the only way for you and I to have a relationship with God, the creator of the universe, the one that loves us the most, the only way that happens is through Jesus. Salvation is by Christ alone. Here's what the Bible says. Christian did a great job tonight. He read it for us. Some of you were listening. The Bible says this. It says, for God so loved the world. Well, who's the world? Us. For God so loved you, put your name in the blank. For God so loved, when says the world, put your name in there. For God so loves Stephen, right? That he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but should have everlasting or eternal life. So God loves you so much that he was willing to send his one and only son, right? To sacrifice his life for you, right? And then the Bible says it also like this. Jesus was speaking. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. No man is united in right relationship with God himself but through Jesus Christ. And you guys know the problem. The problem is that we sin. We make mistakes. We say things we shouldn't say. We do things that we shouldn't do. I'm with you. We're all in the same boat. We all fail at times, right? No one in here is perfect. And so there's a problem. And God knew there was a problem, and God wanted to solve the problem. And so the way that God solved the problem was he sent Jesus, his son, to die, to be humiliated, to be bruised, to be broken, to be nailed to a cross, to be punished, to suffer, and to sacrifice his life so that we could be made right with God. So when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but by me. Some of your friends believe other things. They believe that there's other ways to God, that there's other avenues that they can get to heaven. That's not true. The truth is that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only way. Jesus was God in the form of man, and he came down to earth. And he lived his life 30-something years, and yet he never sinned. I mean, you hear that and you think, well, that's crazy, but it's true. He never did anything wrong. He never sinned. He never messed up, right? But then what happened was Jesus himself, went to the cross for you and for me. He was nailed to the cross so that he could take our place. And the Bible actually teaches that we deserve death because of all of our sin and all the mistakes we make. We deserve death. But here's what happened. Here's the gospel. Jesus took our place. Jesus loves us so much. He loves you so much. He loves me so much that he was willing to take your place, that he was willing to sacrifice his life for yours. And the best thing about it is that there's nothing that you and I can do to earn that. Like, do you understand that? It's this idea of Jesus turns don't but do into done. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, it's done. Like, there's nothing that I can do, there's nothing that you can do to earn his love for us. There's not enough good things that you and I can do, or enough good words that we can say, or enough good actions that we can take so that God will just love us more and more and more and more. And what we think is that, well, if I do this, then this will happen. If I just do this, well, then God will love me even more. And it's just not true. Because God loving us, it's not based on what we do. It's not based on anything we do. Just personally speaking, honestly, if it was based on what I do, I wouldn't stand a chance. And that's the truth. It's really good news. The good news is that it's not about you, it's about Jesus. It's about the fact that Jesus sacrificed and took your place on the cross. And here's even the better part. It's all good. It gets better. He took our place on the cross, and we, in essence, have been ushered into his perfection, his righteousness. That when God sees you and God sees me, a lot of times we think of God as this person way up there who can just strike us dead with lightning when we mess up. We think of it like that sometimes. We think of God in that way. And I don't know how you view God, but let me tell you the truth of the way that God works. He doesn't even see the things that you do. He knows when you sin. He knows when you mess up. But when he sees you, he sees righteousness. Is that not amazing? I mean, it's such good news. It's incredible news. And it has nothing to do with you. You can't do enough. And so the bottom line, when I say that Jesus turns don't but do into done. When he died on the cross, this is what he said. He had three words at the very end. He said, "It is finished." It is finished. And so what do you do with that? It's very, very simple tonight. Very, very simple tonight. Make Jesus number one. Make Jesus number one. Some of you have never made a decision to make Jesus number one in your life. Maybe you have doubts. Maybe you have fears. Maybe you've just never thought about who God really is and the fact that he is radically, madly, passionately in love with you. Even when you mess up, he still loves you. And you've never made Jesus number one. You know, there were some people talking to Jesus. They were trying to test him. They were trying to kind of stump him. And they walk up to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? What's the greatest teaching in all of the law?" He says, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." In other words, with every single part of you, you love Jesus. You love him. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you're free from sin. It just means that you love him. And I understand what you're saying. I know what you may be thinking. You, Well, this kind of sounds like you're landing into the do versus don't thing, and this is what you got to do. And here's what I want you to understand. That's not the point of tonight. The point of tonight is that when you truly understand and you truly realize what Jesus did for you, when you truly come to terms and come to grips with what Jesus did for you, God is going to bring you to a place when you understand that he must be number one. That he must be number one. Must be most important. Must be the highest. Must be the center and the core of your life. But as we wrap up, I want you to catch this visually. Because a lot of times we think of that verse, you know, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And so let's think of like some things that are really important to us. Let's think of some things that we care about, some things that, you know, that we like, right? For example, you guys, a little interaction, if you guys want to hold up your number one, if you agree with me, you can't. Well, I haven't showed you the box yet. But like, for example, sports. Sports are big, right? Yeah, everybody loves sports. Sports are king. Matter of fact, there's a lot of people we haven't seen in a while because they got practice on Wednesday nights or games. Hey, can y'all do me a favor, man? Tell your friends we miss them. Even if they play sports, we want them here. Or what about this one? This one's really big, guys. How about friendship? Yeah, man. Yeah, of course. Friends are huge, man. I've got friends. You got friends. You know, your friends, man, they laugh with you, they cry with you, they make fun of you. You make fun of them. Right? I mean, friendships are huge. Church and family. Church and family is a big deal, right? You love your family, your siblings, even your younger ones that get on your nerves. Deep down in your heart, you love them. Right? Your church. Hey, listen, man. Hey, listen. If you guys don't know this, man, we want to make sure you know this. We love you guys. We are so glad that you guys come and that you guys hang with us on Wednesday nights. Man, we love you guys. We care about you guys. We really do. And then we got this other box. I'm sure you can guess. Jesus. Yeah. And see, here's what happens, man. Let's just be real for a little bit, okay? Let's just be real. What happens is our life, man, all these things are important. There's more. I mean, you can label the boxes Facebook and Xbox One and all this kind of stuff, right? But all these things are important to us, man, right? All these things, man, that we care about these things. You know, these things, we think about these things. And see, what happens is, oftentimes, man, this is perhaps the order. You know, we look at sports or friendships and Jesus, and then we look at our family, our church, and then sometimes, you know, these kind of intermingle. And so, you know, this is the order. And so we go from, you know, what's this one? This one says, yeah, well, friendships are most important. We love our friends, and we put a lot of stock into our friends, and we go to our friends. And, you know, if we get the time, man, we'll talk to Jesus about it. We'll pray about it. We'll think about it. We'll come to church. We'll talk to our leader about it. But a lot of times what happens is that this is the way that things line up in level of importance. And see, what Jesus said is, he said it like this. He said, no. The greatest command in all of the law is to love the Lord your God, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. It's the greatest commandment. It's the greatest thing. You think to yourself, well, Pastor Stephen, how do I do that? You ask him. You make him number one in your life. Well, Pastor Stephen, that's really hard. That's really difficult because I really like these other things, and I get it. I think we all struggle with that at times. And here's what I want you to know. I'm right there with you. I struggle with that. I struggle with putting Jesus number one sometimes in my life. But here's the way that it should look. The way that it all should look is that all of these things should fit into this one. Let me tell you why. Because Jesus has to be number one. He has to be first. He will not settle for less. He will not settle for second best. And see, he deserves it, students. I need you to understand. He deserves it because of what Jesus did for you and what Jesus did for me. Not because of what I've done. Not because I've earned it. Not because I've been kind enough or a good enough student. But just because he loves me. And here's the end of the good news. You're number one for him. Like, you were worth it. You were worth it for Jesus to sacrifice his life. For Jesus to live perfectly and yet never sin. And then die on the cross for your sins. You were worth it. You are number one to him. And that's huge. It's huge. He cares about you. He loves you. And he desires a relationship with you. And so this is what I want to do tonight. One of the first things I said is that some of you guys are going to have the opportunity to make the best decision of your entire life. Tonight, some of you have never made this decision. You've never said, you know, I want Jesus to be number one. I want to invite Christ into my life. It doesn't matter all the things I've done or even what I said an hour ago. I realize that Jesus loves me and that I don't necessarily understand everything about that, but I know that he loves me. And I want to make him number one. For the first time in my life, I just want to invite him into my heart. And I want to make this really clear for you guys. Some of you, you've made that decision before, and that's amazing. And you have this temptation of, well, I want to make that decision again. I want you to hold off. I don't want you to make that decision again because you don't need to. Jesus loves you. He's always loved you. He's never going to stop loving you. But for some of you in here, you would say, Pastor Stephen, I've never made that decision. I've never invited Christ into my life. I've never said, Jesus, be number one. And so this is what I want you to do. I want everybody just in the quietness of your heart, in your seat, I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray some words over you tonight. And if you're in the room tonight and you say, you know, Pastor Stephen, I have never made Jesus number one and I want to do that tonight. I know I want to do that tonight. I'm certain that I want to do that tonight. I'm for real that I want to invite Christ into my life tonight. If that's you, and this is what I want you to do. I want you just, in the quietness of your mind and your heart, I want you to just repeat these words after me, right where you're at. Not out loud, but just in your heart, in your mind. Just say, Jesus, I love you. I admit that I'm a sinner. That there are things in my life that I've done that I'm not proud of. But I believe that you love me. And I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. That you turned don't but do into done. And so I commit my life to you tonight, Jesus. I ask you to come into my heart. Change me. Mold me. Make me into the person you want me to be. Thank you for saving my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's what I want to do. Let me tell you what's cool. Bible says this, man. It says when one person, just when one says yes to Jesus, that all of heaven just kind of breaks out into a party. That they just want to celebrate. They just want to just go crazy and celebrate with the one. And so this is what I want you to do, man. I know that this is a bold step, but I believe in you. You guys are middle schoolers. You can handle it. Man, tonight, if you just prayed that prayer with me from your chair and you meant those words, you made Jesus number one in your life, man, I want you to just, I know this is bold, but I want you to stand right where you're at. Just stand right where you're at. If you say, you know what, I prayed that prayer. Amen. Cool. All right. Now let me stay standing. Stay standing. I wanna talk to you guys while you're standing. I realize it may be kind of awkward, but that's not my intention. But I just want to see you. I want to look you in the eye. I just want to say I'm so proud of each of you. I'm so proud of the decision that you've made tonight. This is a life-changing decision. This is the best decision that you've ever made. It's going to change things for you. It's going to make things new for you, right? Now, some of you are in here and you would say, you know what, I've actually made that decision before, and this is more of like a, maybe kind of just felt like I needed to rededicate. If that's you tonight, I want you to stay in the room. I don't want you to necessarily leave the room, but those of you that, man, you're making this decision for the very first time, then I want to invite you guys. This is what we want to do. We got some adults that just want to pray for you, right? And we've got something special for you guys. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you just to exit out the back of the room, right across the hall. We've got some people that are going to steer you into the response room. And so we just want to talk to you for a few minutes. So if you're standing, you made that decision for the first time, go ahead and dismiss yourself. Everybody does not need to be talking because we're not done. We're not done. If you've already made that decision, you don't need to leave the room. Only those of you who are making that decision for the very first time in your life, those of you that are making that for the very first time, you need to dismiss. Now, here's what I know what's true about everybody else. Stay with me tonight. This is what I know is true about everybody else in this room, okay? Some of you, man, you are walking with Jesus. He is teaching you. You are, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I just want to say that's amazing. But for some of you, as I've talked tonight, you've realized, man, that, God, you know, Jesus really isn't number one. Like, I've given him my life. I've placed my trust and my faith in Jesus. But he's probably not really, like, number one right now in my life. And so this is what I want to encourage you guys to do. We're going to sing a song. The band's going to sing us through a song called Cornerstone. It's an amazing song. And during that song, we want to invite you to do something. This is a sacred moment. So what that means is this is not a time for you to be talking. It's not a time for you to be cutting up. But instead, this is a time to do business with God. And the Bible says, repent. Turn away from your sin. Turn back to God. Just say, God, I'm sorry. Help me to live my life, making you number one. So we want to invite you. You can use the front here tonight if you want to come and pray during this song. We're going to have some leaders that are going to be standing around the outside of the room here. Maybe you want someone to actually voice a prayer over you tonight. And you just want somebody to just, you want to hear someone audibly pray for you. You've got some family stuff going on. You've got some situations going on at school. Maybe you've been bullied and stuff like that's happening in your life right now. Man, you just need somebody, one of our leaders, man, to just just hug on you and pray for you tonight. And so that's what I want us to do tonight. I want us to do business with God. If you want to stand and sing, if you want to come and kneel and pray at the stage here, I want you to do business with God. So God, it's with that. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you that we're number one to you. We thank you for what you're doing in this room tonight. We thank you for every decision that's been made. And God, as we worship you tonight, may you be honored. In Jesus' name.